prayer as Pastor Lyons lost his mother. So keep the Lyons family in prayer and keep Sister Miriam in prayer because, you know, losing someone is difficult, and then having to do it a second time with another person that you love is difficult as well. So keep Miriam lifted up as well as Brother Lyons, his sister, and there was an uncle, her brother still living. So keep that family in your prayers. And I'm blessed and honored to be able to stand before you today to give you not only a word today, but I'm going to give you a prophetic word today. If with the help of the Lord, I'm going to be able to explain it to you. I want to first, though, thanks, Pastor, my girl over here. At the last minute, our pastor, assistant pastor, she rose up and took over the Risen Life service for me today, and I don't take that lightly. Thank you, Larissa. I appreciate it so much. And we are blessed at Growth Temple to have pastors and ministers that at a moment's notice can step in and do the work that God has called them to do. And I thank God because he gave the word for all of it. He gives the word for all of it. Hadn't been for him, none of us would be doing this, right? None of us would be able to do it. So I'm going to open with a prayer, and you want to, Ezekiel 36 is where we'll be coming from today. If you want to flip there, Father, in the name of Jesus, I empty myself of me, everything that I have, every thought, every word, every movement, Lord, let it be yours and not my own. I thank you for this wonderful, encouraging word that you have given us. I pray that you would help this vessel to minister it according to your will. In Jesus' name, give ears and heart to the hearers, Lord. Let them hide this word in the heart. Let them see the fruitfulness of this word, as I believe that it's a prophetic word that we'll be living in. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Ezekiel 36, if you want to move to that. So, Thursday I was praying in my office at work and praying about what he wanted me to teach or talk about today. This is before I became the speaker for this service. And I was wanting to go to 37 and teach and preach from there. But the Holy Spirit said, start at 36. Start at 36. So this is where it starts, if you understand. And if you want to give a title to this sermon, it's God's Aha Moment. Aha, God's Aha Moment. A-H-A, simple. Aha means satisfaction or a triumphant expression. God's Aha Moment. So I'm sitting in the office and God has me start at Ezekiel 36, and I want to tell you, you can be anywhere and the Spirit of the Lord talk to you. Long as you have an ear to hear it, he will talk to you. You can be on the job, you can be sitting at the hospital, you could be in your home, you could be driving in the car. I don't care, in the grocery store, I don't care where you are. Holy Spirit speaks. If you will hear, we've just got to have the ears to hear, it says. And, you know, even that sometimes takes a learning experience. But hear the words the Lord has given me and read Ezekiel 36 and 1. And I'm going to read, as I read, I'm going to kind of explain what God has given me. Now, all day Thursday, I couldn't. Every time I read these scriptures, my soul leaped within me. My spirit leaped within me. And I kind of put a little something out on the Facebook page about this being a prophetic word for an individual. But today, this is actually a prophetic word for the Church of Jesus Christ, for the body of Christ, not just this church, not just these people. This is what we're going to be seeing in the land in the future. I don't know. He didn't give me a timeline for it, but I'm telling you, you're going to see it. It's going to happen. And I want to encourage you today to hang on because good things are coming. And you, son of man, prophesy to the mountains of Israel. This is the Lord speaking to Ezekiel. He says, O mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord. That was the first thing that struck me funny, and I don't know why it did, but he is speaking and prophesying to the mountains, the actual landscape of Israel, the mountains. Because when a word is spoken spiritually, it does manifest itself in the natural. And you can go back to Genesis. How did he let there be light? And there was light. Jesus, he gave us this example when he spoke to the fig tree. Do you remember that part? He spoke to it. The next day, the disciples were amazed when they went by, and it had withered up from the root, is what the word said. You find that in Mark 11. So I don't know why it struck me funny, but I think because of the propheticness of the word that was coming, I thought it was strange. But let me tell you, the mountains and the seas and the wind and the valleys and the hills and the cities all belong to God. I don't care who's in the White House, who's in the governor's mansion, who's in the Senate, who's in whatever judicial, who sits on the judicial seat. I don't care. It all belongs to God. And when he speaks, it listens. Do you remember Jesus stepped out on the bow? Peace be still. And the winds obeyed. So when God speaks to the mountains, they obey. So your land, the land we call America, the land we call the world, not just in America, Australia, Iran, Israel, all the land listens to him. And he's about to make things happen. Let's go on. It says, thus says the Lord, because the enemy has said of you, aha, the ancient heights have become our possession. Therefore prophesy and say, thus says the Lord God, because they made you desolate, they left you alone. These are my meanings for that word, desolate. And swallowed you up every side so that you become the possession of the rest of the nations. And you are taken up by the lips of talkers and slandered by the people. Therefore, O mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord God. Thus says the Lord God to the mountains, to the hills, to the rivers, to the valleys, to the desolate waste and the cities that have been forsaken, which became plunder and mockery to the rest of the nations all around. Therefore, thus says the Lord, surely I have spoken in my burning jealousy against the rest of the nations and against all Edom, who gave my land to themselves as a possession with wholehearted joy and spiteful minds in order to plunder its open country. So I just want to kind of pull apart some of what we've learned already. The mountains are listening. God has said the enemy has come in and had their aha moment. They have taken my possession, my land, the land I gave my children, and they have made it desolate, and they have swallowed it up on every side, and they have called it their possession. And now they stand back, and they talk, and they slander my people. No wonder he was a little angry. He says, I'm talking to the mountains. I'm talking to the hills. I'm talking to the rivers. I'm talking to the valleys. I'm talking to the desolate waste areas, the cities. I'm talking to it all. It all belongs to me. Actually, this was Canaan land. Do you remember? The promised land to the Israelites. And the enemy had come in and destroyed it. Desolate means that they are stunned and unable to think. Waste means it is decayed and destroyed. He says they have come in and they have plundered it and they have mocked it. All the nations. But I am speaking in my burning jealousy against them. Not just regular old jealousy. It's burning jealousy. You know, it's not the jealousy that we attach jealousy to. Jealousy to us is, you've got something I want, and I'm jealous for that. You're able to do something that I can't do, and I'm going to treat you a certain way because I have jealousy in my heart. That is not the kind of anger and jealousy we're talking about with God. He says, this is mine, and you have defamed it. This is mine, and you have tried to destroy it. This is mine, and you have plundered, and now you're scoffing about it. But it belongs to me. It belongs to me. And now I am not just jealous, I am burning in jealousy against you. Exodus 20, verses 3 through 5, talks about God's jealousy. He says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt make not unto thee any graven images or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. Not jealous because he doesn't have something, but because you belong to him. You are his. I want you to understand in this passages, it shows us the intent of the enemy. You know, John 10, verses 9 and 10, we quote these a lot. It says, Jesus says, I'm the door, but by me, if any man enters, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture by me. He says, but the thief cometh, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I am come that thou would have life and that thou might have it more abundantly. Do you see his intent? Do you see his intent? Do you see he steals first? What does he steal? If you look at 2 Corinthians 4, 3 through 4, it says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded their eyes, no, their minds, of them who which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine upon them. He comes to steal. If he can just trick you into not believing, you're blind. Your mind is blind. You can't see. And what's his next thing? He's going to kill something. Some were not lucky enough to get past that point because it was a physical death. Some of us are living in bodies that we think God made a mistake in. Some of us are living lives from our choices that he has tricked us into and made it look so pleasurable and good that we're walking down this path and we're just plundering everything. We're just taking it all in, taking everything that we can, and yet it satisfies us not. And before you know it, body, soul, and mind is destroyed. How many people do you know like that? I know a few. I can't talk to them about God because they are so blinded in their minds. All they can see is this pain that they have, and they think this is going to fix it, and that's going to fix it, and this is going to fix it. But it's not. It's all worldly stuff. It's only going to make the pain change to something else. But he says, you have come in, and you have plundered, and you have mocked my land. Verse 6 says, therefore prophesy concerning the land of Israel and say to the mountains, the hills, the rivers, and the valleys, thus says the Lord God, behold, I have spoken in my jealousy and my fury. Fury is a very deep passion. It's intense love and devotion for his people and his land. That's the kind of fury God has. It's a justified fury. Because you have bore the shame of the nations, therefore, thus saith the Lord, I have raised my hand in an oath that surely the nations that are around you shall bear their own shame. But you, O mountains of Israel, you shall shoot forth your branches and yield your fruit to my people Israel. For they are about to come. For indeed I am for you. I will turn to you, and you shall be tilled and sown, and I will multiply men upon you. All the house of Israel, all of it, in the cities shall be inhabited, and the ruins rebuilt. I will multiply upon you man and beast, and there they shall increase and bear young. I will make you inhabited as in the former times and do better for you than at your beginning. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. Yes, I will cause men to walk on you. My people Israel, they shall take possession of you, and you shall be their inheritance. No more shall you bereave them of children. Thus saith the Lord, because they say to you, you devour men and bereave your nation of children. Therefore, you shall devour men no more, nor bereave your nation any more, says the Lord. Nor will I let you hear the taunts of the nations any more, nor bear the reproach of the peoples any more. Nor shall you cause your nation to stumble any more, says the Lord God. There's so much in there. I don't know if I can unpack it all, but I'm going to try to do it. In my teachings a couple weeks ago, I taught repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Our prayer says, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. The ecclesia, the church of Christ of God, has been praying, let your kingdom come on earth. Let your reign be in our hearts. Let men turn toward you, God. That is what we've been talking about. And last Wednesday, I talked to you about the fivefold ministry. There is a reason why you're being taught all this. Holy Spirit is speaking. We talked about the fivefold ministry. We explained what they are, and I even explained you all are operating in those now. We don't have just pastors that stand in this pulpit. We have pastors that sit in those chairs, and they take the word in, and they take it back to their flock, whether it be your family, your children, your husband, your coworkers, your friends. And you are preaching and teaching to them. And you are pastoring them because you are praying for them. You are looking out for them. You're giving them words of encouragement and understanding into the Word of God. Fivefold ministry. There is a reason why Holy Spirit is having us teach these things. Things are about to change. Not just in your life, but in the church as a body, as a whole. This promise is to the land. My land is America. This is where I live. This is my nationality. This is where I pay my taxes, and this is where I work and raise my children. But all land belongs to God. All land belongs to God. But when he speaks to the land and tells it that I'm going to send my children back, and they are going to start they're going to walk upon you, and you're going to be tilled, and you're going to be sowed. Because let me tell you, the earth and everything in it reels and rocks and waves until God, Jesus, returns. That's scripture. The Bible, the earth waits for his return. It even is obedient to the will and the way and the word of God. But I love this scripture. He says, you will bear no more shame, because I have made an oath for you. Do you know that God has made an oath for you? And not the kind of oaths that we used to do. You know, back in the day, we had blood brothers. We'd slit our, change a little blood out, which I don't recommend doing anymore. But that was supposed to be a bond, an oath. He has made an oath for each and every one of you. He said the land is going to be yours. It's going to prosper. What's the land? Do you remember what he told Joseph or Jacob? Joseph? What he told Joshua? I'm so sorry. It's Joshua. All those J's. Joshua, he says, I have given you whatever you walk on. This is your land. This is my promise to you. I will go with you. I will never forsake you. Wherever your foot lays, that's your land. I have given you victory. I have noticed in my ministry in the last, say, year or so, that there has been a shift in the way that God does things. Sermons don't come like they used to. And when it first happened, and I know you've heard Pastor talk about this, and him and I have had discussions because we noticed the change, and they don't come like they used to. They come differently now. Not that that's a bad thing. But I've noticed there is a shift in things that are happening in the spiritual realm. No longer am I walking into places without peace, without joy, without conqueror that I am. But I had noticed even on my job that I was able to walk in there and it would be falling apart. And I'd be, good morning. How you doing? Okay, we'll take care of that problem. Just set it on my desk. I noticed there was a peace about it, that I could work in chaos and be peaceful. Notice the sermons were changing. We were changing from, one prophet said, from warriors to laborers. You either got victory or you don't. And if you're in Christ, you have it. And if you're not, you don't. I'm not here to play games no more. God gave me a prophetic word to our pastor, and I said, no more will the idea of no one left behind work in the church. There are some that have to be left behind because they refuse God. They refuse God. And no matter how much you pour into them, no matter how much you speak to them, no matter how much you pray and cry for them, the time has come. The lines are drawn. You're either in or you're out. There's no in between. There's a prophecy here for you too. God says, I'm furious and I'm angry. You have defamed my land. He cares so much about the earth. Imagine how much he cares about you. Let's go on. It says, you will shoot forth your branches and yield your fruit to my people Israel. Do you remember Paul saying in 1 Corinthians, they were trying to claim that they were of this group or of that group. I'm with Paul. I'm with Apollos. No, he said, no. Let me explain that to you. He says, I have planted. Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, nor he that watereth anything, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. You see my sister over here? I texted her at 2 o'clock in the afternoon yesterday, and I said, I'll be teaching 11:30. Can you pick up the 10:45? I was scheduled to teach. And some days I teach them both only because God gives the grace, but he didn't give it yesterday. Without hesitation, she texts back, I got it. Like that. I got it. We work together as one. I'm not jealous of her. I'm not envious of her. I'm going to push her up, and I'm going to encourage her, and I'm going to speak some harsh words to her because I expect her to do great things. And I cannot allow her to operate in anything but greatness. And same thing for me. Don't think that pastor don't come down and tell me anything he wants to think, as he does you all. But that's what he's supposed to do. Paul says, for we are laborers together with Christ, with God. He says, now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labors, for we are laborers together with God. It's not me or you. It's us. It's us. It's Growth Temple Ministries. Yes, I may teach here. I may preach here. Pastor goes there and does this. But that's okay. He's just spreading the seed of the Word of God. Let's not be jealous. Let's not be angry. Let's not talk about it. Let's say, praise the Lord. Let's pray for our pastor. He's given a word somewhere else. Thank you, Jesus. That's Growth Temple Ministries going. What did Jesus say? Go, therefore, into all the nations. Preach the gospel. Teach them as I taught you. Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I will be with you even to the end of the age or time. That's what we're doing. He says, for I am indeed with you, and I will turn to you, and you shall be tilled and sown. That's what the earth does, you know. Go back to Genesis. There was the Garden of Eden. There was plants, and Adam was in charge of all that, tending to everything in the garden. That's what the earth desires, to do the will of God. Why is tilling important? How many farmers do I have? Anybody work on a farm, seen a farm? I'm one of those girls. I used to till the land. Yeah. Tilling breaks up the hard ground. Do you know there's some places in this world that we can't go as Christians? That's the hard ground. But Holy Spirit is about to intervene. And those places are going to be places that we're going to need to go. And we're going to need to go together. Maybe in your own life you feel like you hit a brick wall. God's about to till it. Is it going to be fun? Probably not. Is it going to be worth it? Yes, it will. So to till, you're preparing the ground for planting by loosening the hard ground and aerating, which means that you're allowing air and water and nutrition to flow through that churned up ground to get to the root of the plant. It improves the soil, drainage, and the organic matter of it. And it also helps control pests and weeds. Ooh, that's a sermon within itself. I'm going to go ahead and go over. It says, you're going to be tilled and sown. And then it says, I will multiply men upon you. All the house of Israel, the city shall be inhabited and the ruins rebuilt. There is a harvest coming. There is a harvest coming. What did Joel say? The chapter of Joel 2. It says, I will pour out my spirit. And your sons and your daughters will prophesy. And your old man will dream dreams. There is a coming spirit filled pouring of the Holy Spirit coming. It's Holy Spirit's already here. It began at Pentecost, the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit came then. Jesus called it, stay in Jerusalem until you're endued from power from on high. Now, you can go to heaven and not be baptized in the Holy Spirit. You can have, but you got to have the Holy Spirit to go. What is the baptism? It's a surrender. Long time ago, God asked me to pray for the baptism of the Holy Spirit of this church. And I told him, I said, God, I don't see any of them that want to surrender enough to have that happen. And that's sad when a person can see that and say that. Do you want to surrender? Do you want to walk in that power and that authority? I do. You know why? Because the enemy is out that door trying to steal, kill, and destroy. How do you think you're going to walk out in your own strength and defeat him? How many of us have tried and failed miserably? I'll be the first one to say I did. Then it goes on to say, we will rebuild the ruins. You know what that means? We're going to need some laborers for the harvest. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. It's his harvest. We're just laborers. Are you willing to be the person that is going to till and sow and water? You know, the fivefold ministry, apostle, evangelist, teacher, pastors, a missing one. We've got all five of them. I missed out the one, I'm sorry. But we're going to need people that will do that. The land is going to open up to you. You're going to be able to operate in areas that you never thought would happen. I have been praying that God would intervene in our school systems. I've been praying that God would intervene in the White House and our judicial systems. I've been praying that God would tear down the strongholds in America. And I believe that the land is about to listen to the command of God. And I believe we're going to see these things happen. And I want to finish. I told you I wouldn't keep you long. I'm just telling you, I've got a few more things I'll talk to you about. I love, though, in chapter and verse 13 of Ezekiel 36, it says, the land has devoured men and bereaved your nation of children. Bereaved means to deprive, especially by death. They teach our children of blasphemy in school, in public school. It's okay to choose what you want to be. It's okay to be how you want to be and feel how you want to feel. That is a lie from the pit of hell. God did not make a mistake when you were born. You are called to be who your DNA he gave you. I see the Holy Spirit moving in those situations. He's going to, even one prophet said, he will interrupt class and fall in the classes of public school, and that there will be a turnaround from this debauchery, this terrible teaching that they're teaching our children, and it goes all the way up. I remember it first in college when my son was in college, and they started talking about that. Now they teach you that in kindergarten and above. But the land has devoured our children. So I see that there is a call for our children, whether they're tiny or adults, they're going to be called back to God. They're going to come back to learn Jesus, to know him for who he is. The land is calling them, going to be calling them back because Jesus has said it. They will return to the kingdom of God, our prodigal children. And this lie that they're teaching them. But I'm telling you, there's going to be some people that have to get into this church, into the kingdom of God, that have gone through some things, that have experienced this terrible thing that the enemy has let loose on our children, so that they can help minister to them. I don't care what their choices are today. They're about to be called back. And we've got to be ready to love them. We've got to be ready to help them find the truth, which is Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about acceptance, no. Because sin is sin. I don't care how you spell it, how you look at it, how you pronounce it. It is what it is. But they're going to need some people that love them. Love them like Jesus will. Do you remember he was having dinner with not so good people in the religious leaders come by and said, look who he's having dinner with. And Jesus promptly said, I didn't come to those who don't need help. I came for those that needed a doctor, that needed salvation. So when I read this on Thursday, this whole thing, what has been spoken to the land spiritually will manifest physically. I believe that you will find when you walk in places that you have the favor of God upon your life. Child of God. Child of God. I believe that what was so difficult before, those places that we couldn't go because the enemy had a stronghold over, I believe those strongholds are going to come down. But we're going to have to go in and we're going to help plant and till and water. Because the promises are ours. We have got to labor together. Unity will be of most importance. It can't be that sister so-and-so did this, brother so-and-so did this. No, God did this through me. He could take me out in a second. I have no, my next breath is not guaranteed. Don't look at me, but it's God in me. Get to the Word of God. I believe that we're going to see the places, the strongholds, tore down in America and all over the world. But when we do, and it's already starting to unravel now, we're going to need laborers. Are you going to be a laborer? Or you can continue to come and be status quo. Okay, I showed up. Check it off my list. I'm done. No. We're going to need you to operate. We're going to need you to do what you're called to do. Because you know what? I want to see my children serving God. I want to see your children serving God. I want to see the prostitute's children, her and her children serving God. I want to see the drug addict, the murderer, the rapist. I want to see them all serving God. It is so bad when I pull up to the gas station and I see people walking around. I'm like, God, do they know you? I don't even have the chance to talk to them, but I'm just in and out. And I look at every person differently now. Do they know you? God, will you give me the opportunity to talk to them today? Help me to have that wisdom and that understanding. I think the ground is about to be broken up. I think you're going to see it in your life. I think we're going to see it in a nationwide way. I think God's going to invade places that he's not been welcomed. And we need laborers to till and sow the land. Because God is about to have his aha moment. Will you be a part of that? You know, when I come, I only give you what God told me. I'm going to give you one final scripture. Psalms 24, 1 through 6. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The world and they that dwell in therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hills of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor swore deceitfully, he shall receive the blessings from the Lord and the righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face. He's about to make a lot of changes in this world. It's going to make life a little easier for the Christians. I'm not saying what's going to happen to them, because according to this word, they're going to get some fury. But we've got to be able to go in when the ground is broke up. And we've got to minister. And we've got to sow. And we've got to water. And we've got to plant. We've got to watch what he is doing. things are changing in the United States alone. You don't always hear the good news, but I'm telling you, it's there. He is moving mightily, and the land is about to obey him. It's about to obey him. God gave me this word Thursday morning. I about jumped out of my skin for 2 or 3 days. I've read nothing, hardly anything else, or heard anything else but this word. But I listened to one prophet on July 4th, and he confirmed everything that God had given me Thursday. Things are going to be changing. We're going to be no longer warriors. Do you know what that means? A warrior, one that's constantly in battle. But we are going to be laborers, one that's constantly setting the sure foundation, that's teaching and preaching and helping the kingdom of God expand on this earth. I have seen that when he spoke that, when I listened to it July 4th, when he spoke that and I heard it, I understood exactly what had been going on in my own life. Because Pastor and I had talked about the changes. God had changed. There's been some shifting and changing in the way he does things with us. And he's changing warriors into laborers. That's why you're getting teaching and not so much preaching. And you're not being produced to jump and shout. But you're given weapons to walk up out of here and be the army of God that you're called to be. You're given things that are going to save your soul and save someone else's soul. The land is going to listen to him. He's about to have his aha moment. I just want to know where you're going to stand. Are you going to stand with him? Are you going to be standing with the nations? They're going to get his fury and his jealousy. Father, I thank you for the words that you have given this house today. Not only this house, but for the church of Jesus Christ. I pray that you take that word into their hearts. Lord, let it resound over and over in their minds and their hearts. Let them have greater understanding than even what I have talked about today. Holy Spirit, guide them into the truth. Lead them into all truth. Let us know that we are to make a choice and we are to stand with you. Because I want to be a laborer for you, Lord. All this will pass away one day. All this will be gone, but what is done for the kingdom of God will stand in the judgment. Let us remember that the temporal things are just pleasure that's temporal. And let us understand that the eternal things should bring us just greater joy. For we're laying up, as my daddy used to say, treasures in heaven. Go with your people. Give us your wisdom and understanding. Help us to be the army of God we are called to be in this hour, at this time, Lord. I pray for my pastor and Miriam and the family. Heal their heart, Lord Jesus. Give them strength when they have none. Give them peace that the world can't understand. Open doors for them and help them in this hour, Lord Jesus, as only you can do, Father. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.